and friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. Great. You?
Oh, good. We're recording early and it's super, super hot, but we're going to drop this in October.
Drop it like it's hot?
Drop it like it's hot. Yeah. That's what we do.
When a zombie movie comes along, you got to drop it like it's hot.
Oh, my God. I think that this is one of my favorite paranormal romance movies of all time.
Absolutely.
I loved it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So,
what would you do?
Yes. What would you do
if you fell in love
with a zombie? Monster. Slash.
Zombie.
Corpse.
Slash really hot guy in makeup.
That ate your boyfriend's brains.
We're talking about Warm Bodies.
Oh, I love this movie.
And Courtney, you take the best notes. Did you write down who?
Yes, it was written and directed by Jonathan Levine. I think it's Levine.
Sounds good.
That works.
Levine.
It's based on Isaac Marion's 2010 novel, which is inspired by Shakespeare. It's Romeo and Juliet.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Shakespeare again.
Oh, yes. Big shock. I love it.
Okay, we were just talking about the other day how everything's either based on Shakespeare or Jane Austen.
It's so true.
And I have not read any of Jane Austen. So, like, you guys need to make me do that.
Well, okay, we're going to have to.
What's your favorite Jane Austen?
I don't know. I really like Emma.
I like Emma. I like Sense and Sensibility.
Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice. You can't go wrong with Pride and Prejudice.
I know. It's true.
Okay. We'll do it.
All right.
I don't even think I've seen the movie.
We should put them in a hat and then pick one.
That's a great idea.
Because if you guys have
a preference, like listeners, just let us know.
Yeah, which one should we do? Vote. So those are her four novels.
No, there's more. So many, but
everything is like based on Emma, Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
I don't remember.
I lost count. Yeah. I've counted for. One of these days. So the premise of this movie, basically a terrible plague has taken over humanity, turning half of the world into zombies.
Yes.
So these zombies are like, they're walking corpses. That's kind of how humans relate to them. And they can't really think for themselves. They can't feel. They just kind of like wander around and kind of grunt. They can't talk.
Yeah. They kind of want to, but they don't really know how to.
I was laughing because the protagonist is you get R's perspective.
I love the internal monologue.
It is so funny. Because he starts off going, I really need to like eat better. I really need to stop slumping. I need to
stop.
Oh, yeah. I'm a zombie.
But you just can't do that because I'm a zombie. I think the zombies survive by eating humans.
Yes.
But the zombies do know, like, we want to grow, like, they have this need to survive, and to survive, you need to grow the zombie army. And if you eat the brains, like, they just know, like, you don't eat brains.
Yeah.
So they kind of stay away from eating human brains because
if you eat the brains, sure that person why. Can't come back as a zombie.
Yeah, that person can't come back as a zombie. They're just done for.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they really do avoid eating human brains.
But they love eating the brains.
Because they for a moment, they feel what the person, you know, whatever experiences that person had as when they were alive, all their memories, all their feelings, the zombie, it's like probably a
hit of dopamine.
They suddenly can feel something for a minute.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Briefly. So it's the best part, but they also know like it's really not a good idea to eat the brains.
Yeah, it's like bad. It's bad to eat the brains, but it feels so good to eat the brains. And so then they kind of do eat the brains and then they feel guilty about it.
Because they can feel momentarily.
And they want to have that release, that moment.
So
of
it's
complicated.
I love where R and Julie meet. It is like my favorite part because she's Julie and her friends, including her boyfriend, have to go get medical supplies from
because they've run out.
Airport.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And R and his group of zombies come in while they're getting these supplies and basically eat everybody except for. You know, the Julie and her friends are fighting back.
Yeah.
And R, like, sees her as he walks into the room and notices her. And that,
yes.
Because she, like, comes out in the aisle. She has a gun and she's, like, shooting all of these zombies.
She's pretty badass.
She's badass.
She's a total badass.
And he is, like, who is this? Like
what love song starts playing? I can't.
It's
so perfect.
Everybody has a hungry heart. Is that or is it missing you? I can't remember. Which one.
Missing you's on the airplane.
Yeah,
here.
I think it's everybody has a hungry heart.
Yeah, that's the one.
And he's because he just ate her boyfriend's brains, or he does.
He's in the midst of eating the brains, and and as a result,
he gets. Memories of her.
Of her and her friend, because they were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they just all happened to be there together, and the friend hadn't gotten eaten yet either.
Right.
So he overcomes the, like, eating her for saving her.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has
these
feelings for her.
Yeah.
Memories in his body, and she also clicked with him. Even before the boyfriend.
And at the same time, the other friend, Nora.
Yeah.
Like, I think he kind of let her off, too. Because
he
had, like, feelings for her, too, in a friend way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. By eating the brain of the boyfriend.
But he just takes Julie and leads her to his, like, lair.
Smears her with zombie goop, so she smells like one of them.
Yeah, so when the zombies come, they don't notice. And he kind of, like... tells her to, like, walk like a zombie in his, like, grungy way. I have to say, like, he did such a good job of, like, just moving like a zombie and, like, grunting.
Did.
Like,
and
he was
writing.
Such a great actor.
Yes.
He did a good job.
Really
was it Nicholas Holt?
Nicholas Holt plays R, and Teresa Palmer plays Julie.
Do you know that she was working in a mall and was discovered and given the part without auditioning?
Of this movie?
For this movie?
Yes.
Huh. She did a great job.
Yeah.
I loved her at this part.
That's what
she did. And the girl from Crazy Stupid Love was Nora, her friend. And
I just
loved her.
I know. She was so cute.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
She was the teenage girl who, like...
You're right. I kept thinking,
where do I know her
from?
She's
what
such
movie
a
is it? You're right. She is cute.
She's so cute. And
yes.
I think she likes to go by they.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so. I was reading their little...
I don't know these insights.
No, I was reading on Netflix. I was reading the little things and stuff, and so...
Yeah.
I know. I was like, oh, that's so interesting.
So
I love all of them. They're so cute.
They're in his lair, and he's, like, trying to act normal. He's like, act normal. Don't stare at her too long.
Yes, stop staring.
Don't
like,
be
like,
creepy.
Don't be creepy. Like, he sits down, and he's like, forgets to turn his head away, and she's just terrified. She's like, what is this zombie going to do to me? And she suspects, like, it was just madness and mayhem, but, like, her boyfriend just got eaten alive by a zombie.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's pretty traumatic.
Oh, absolutely.
So she's pretty scared, and he pulls out a record.
Gets
her the blanket.
And she's kind of, she calms down and, like, is sort of, is feeling, this is a different type of zombie.
Yeah,
there's
like,
something weird.
Different. There's something different about me. Why did he save me?
When did his heart beat for the
when
first
he played
time.
The record.
That's what I thought.
And that's when he played.
Was that when was it when he saw her the first time? Or was
did
it when
he, I remember clearly seeing it zoom in and do the heartbeat when that when that record started playing. Mm-hmm. And she was over there, like, still kind of terrified.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of softened him up a little bit.
Yeah.
And he could act zombie normal a little bit more. And then he's, like, trying to show her things. She starts entertaining him a little bit, too.
Yeah, she goes through his record collection. She's like, you're kind of a klepto, aren't you? And he's like...
Yeah, a hoarder.
And then she teases him about being a purist. He's like, she goes,
oh, because he likes records.
Yeah, because he has records. He's like, better sound. And she's like, oh, you're like a music snob or something.
Yeah, but at that time, like, the internet was gone. So, like, I don't know that you could use MP3s the same.
Yeah. I think, they were just so cute.
They were cute.
They were cute.
They were cute. So they go out for a drive.
Yeah, because he tells her that you have to stick around for a few days. Otherwise, he totally lies.
He lied to her. He's like, otherwise they'll know.
They'll know,
He really likes her company.
He does. Like, he likes how it feels to be around her.
Yeah.
Because he's like, this is different.
Yeah.
Finally. So they're in there. They're, like, jamming out. And another zombie.
Yeah, his best friend.
His friend zombie, I guess, if there can be an affiliation like that. But, he looks up at the airplane. He's like, what's going on?
What's going on up there?
That's a little
different.
Things
are clicking for him, too. He's starting to, I think, be aware and thoughts of his own that are more human.
Well, just listening to music, I think, is what kind of, like, clicked for him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like... music hits us at a whole different...
Yeah.
It really does.
Like, it really does humanize and connect us. So I love that they use that tool to bring the zombies back a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and Julie finally gets to a place where she's like, I've got to go. Like, I think you're kind of keeping me here.
Yeah.
And so she runs away when I think he's gone or he's... No. Why is he not paying attention?
Oh, because he was giving her space.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. And
she needed food. She's hungry.
And so...
it's like, oh, yeah, people need to eat.
Yeah. And he, once again, kind of saves her, but there are worse things than zombies. It's the next step of zombie, which is they absolutely are not human at all. Their skin is off. They're skeletons.
They lose any compassion or any trying to feel.
Yes. And so...
And they want to bring the corpses to their level too. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that they are not only being hunted by the zombies, but the what do they call them?
Bones.
Bonies, yeah.
And they're just about ready to be surrounded by the bones when our friend, comes up with in some vehicle, a Jeep or something,
and tells them to get in. But before that happens,
like, they're just trying to go, like, their car breaks down or something. I can't remember what it was exactly, but they're holding hands.
Well, I think
that triggered for
that happened
his
earlier
friend.
in this event.
I thought that's what happened at this point.
When the bones kind of came.
Well, that happened. They were there, and then they were getting away from that. They walked through all those people.
Yeah,
and then one of the bones caught on to them right after that happened. The hand holding, and they walked through.
But the hand holding triggered his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then his friend sees a picture. This is later on. His friend sees a picture in the airport of two people holding hands. And you can see his heart starts. And then
and
there are other zombies that start coming over. And they start looking
and
at...
And the ones that had
it
seen...
It triggers something in all of them.
Yeah.
Like the hand holding. Like, that's such a human connection.
Yep.
And all their hearts start kind of it kind of jolts them.
And then they start smelling alive again to the bonies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And so then the bonies are like, what's going on? You guys aren't totally dead anymore. You're coming back alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so then the bonies are like, what's happening? And the bonies are trying to find this girl and the original zombie dude. But he's taking her back to the human compound.
Yeah, he realizes he can't keep her in the airplane and that she needs to go.
So, but the thing is, I don't think he can quite remember how to get back.
She remembers how to get back.
Yeah. But they're holed up for a while on their way back, and they go into a musty house, and she takes pictures on a Polaroid, and she even says, you know, it kind of creeps me out being in here. Like, maybe you could sleep on the floor.
Come up in the bedroom and sleep on the floor with me, because it's kind of creepy in these houses.
Yeah. And then she's like, she's in wet clothes. She's like, don't look at me. And he's like, maybe trying to turn his head.
It's so funny. In his brain, she's like, I'm going to get out of these clothes. Don't look at me. And he can't stop looking. He's like, look away, look away. And he cannot turn his head. And he said to him, he's like, oh my gosh, she's doing it. She's oh my gosh. She's what's happening.
Yeah, he pulls it off right before
he manages to just barely
get his gaze away. So he doesn't get busted.
Yeah.
But then he falls asleep that night and has a dream. And zombies don't dream.
They do not dream. And in the dream, like, she's treating him like another human.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he wakes up in the morning, and she's like, you know what? You're having to fight so hard right now not to eat me. Like, you're better than most people. And he was like, ugh, I ate your boyfriend.
Yeah.
He admits it, like, I'm not better. I ate your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh.
Yeah.
So she, I think she gets a little freaked out.
Yeah, she goes on her own. She heads back home on her own.
Yep, she sneaks away and heads home. And they miss each other.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
She gets back to the there's a walled city where all the humans live.
Which I think is every zombie movie. There has to be a walled city.
Yeah, you have to separate yourself from the zombies.
Yes.
Or you'll die.
Yes. So she returns to the other side of the wall, and her dad is like some big army commander,
he's in charge of their community.
He totally is.
Yeah, he's trying to protect humanity. And he's really scared because, like, both his mom or her mom and his brother
have been
taken by zombies.
Yeah.
They were no longer human anymore.
So Julia's kind of talking to her friend, and she's, you know, admits to herself and her friend that she actually misses R. And she tells her that there was something different about R, not like any other zombies.
Yeah.
Well, and he even says to himself, gosh, that's actually easier not to feel, because I don't want to feel like this.
Yeah.
Just that ache of missing someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he's whoa, what's going on? I'm feeling again.
Yeah. But by this time, he doesn't smell zombie enough. And so all of the zombies who had the heart palpation are now being hunted by the
zombies. But before we go to that, one of my favorite lines of this whole movie. He's telling his friend, like, oh, she left me. You know, I freaked her out and she's gone now. And he says the most empathetic thing in the world to him. Bitches, man.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
That was so cute.
And he's like zombie, like, bitches, man.
But the zombies that all had the heart palpitation have come to find Julian R and warn them that the bones are after them.
Yes.
Yes.
And so then R turns around, and because he was going to go back to the, you know, back to his, like, the airport, but turns around because he now needs to save Julie and tell Julie that the bones are after him. So
he tells all of his zombie friends, like,
I'll be right back.
He pulls out the Polaroid picture. He's like, we have to help her. Are you guys in?
Yes.
And then they're like, oh. And then his friend's like, they said, fuck yeah.
I love that guy.
He's one of the best characters. Yes. So he gets back to Julie.
Yes.
Yes. And then there's a Romeo and Juliet balcony scene.
Yes, there totally is. And her friend comes out and she's like, oh my gosh, you can't be out there. And they get him in real quick. And
the Pretty Woman song. She's like, oh, yeah. Really? They decide that they're going to fix him up to see if they can make him look human.
Uh-huh. She wants to tell her dad that there could be a change, that there's something happening.
Yeah.
And at the same time, warn him that the bones are after them.
And so the girlfriend, while they're putting the last bit of makeup that they have saved over the last 20 years, around.
She's been saving it for a date. But she's like, that's going to happen.
And then she puts on this song, Pretty Woman, while they're dead. And I love how the girlfriend calls her like, really? Really? And she goes, what? I thought it was funny.
It's pretty cute. It's pretty cute. So, yes, they're going to the dad. And the dad is like, wants to shoot him on the spot. Mm-hmm. And she protects him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, do the bonies start coming, closing in on them?
Yes, they were already warned that this was happening. So they are kind of making preparations to have like a war with the bone.
Yeah, they're getting a sense of that.
So there's kind of some stress going on anyway, and they're preparing for battle, and the dad just can't deal with this. He's like, you know,
we're just going to kill everyone that we think is an enemy.
Yeah. Well, Nora comes in, and she like, holds a gun to the dad's head. That's how they get away. That's what happens.
Yeah. And then they run back out and he warns his buddies and, you know, and he's like, okay, we're not going to really get help. But while he's doing that, the humans kind of follow them and get there about the same time. But they see the zombies protecting
the humans from the bones.
The humans from the bones. And so they're like, oh, and then the zombies say, the humans are like, well, who do we kill? And then the zombies are like, kill the bonies. We're all killing the bonies together.
Yes.
So they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty intense war. And I don't know if I want to give much more away than that.
Yeah.
I think it's a good place to stop.
Because I want people to like see how it ends up, like how.
Yeah. If it works,
does she manage to get him fully human again?
Yeah.
Do the bonies win the war?
Yeah.
It's a love story.
Zombies take over.
Zombies take over. Maybe that's what's going to happen to the humans as they become like half human, half zombies. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah. How does that unfold?
Watch it yourself.
Watch it yourself, damn it.
But I think that this movie, does parallel a lot of things. And I really, that whole concept of people getting lost and kind of becoming zombified, whether that be with like drug addiction or whether that be with disconnection.
For me, I totally paralleled it with addiction only because
I think you're spot on.
Addiction is a disease of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was something that they did a really good job of pointing out throughout the whole movie is that like the zombies, gosh, they were numb.
Mm-hmm.
They craved feelings again. They couldn't have feelings. Like, that's what addiction does.
Yeah, they would have to do this
person.
Extreme thing to get more feelings that they knew that they weren't really supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Which parallels to and people just are just like, the only way that I can get, you know, my chemistry to go is to do this one thing.
Yeah, I like that.
But also, like, the way that addicts, people who have struggled with that, they don't act like themselves. They are not themselves. And the people around
them.
And
they're isolated. And they're ostracized.
Exactly. And so, and the one thing that I have learned is that the only cure for addiction is not ostracizing, is not pushing away. It's helping, you know, it's a disease of shame.
Yes.
And the only way you can counteract shame is through empathy and love.
Well, and in Portugal just proves that so well. Like, Portugal had one of the worst drug problems.
This is a disease. We don't shun people with diseases. We take care of them.
And so they spent all the money that they spent on
incarcerating. I really felt
that it was it was a disconnection humans
in their
to each other. Like, for me, I mean, I think, yes, you're right. And it's also just humans not connecting. And what happens is people become lonely and isolated, whether it's through drugs or because
another way to look at it too is we're all connected to our phones now.
Yes, and in the movie, he even, there was that scene when he was trying to remember what was it like before, and his memory had everyone staring at their phone and nobody looking at each other.
Right.
Which, when people disconnect, it's so hard to come back from disconnection. It's so hard once you start going down the zombie path to
know how to connect again. Yes. It's so awkward. I loved how awkward they made it.
Yes.
In this movie. Like, okay, what do? I don't even know.
I just love that we're talking about this because, like, the first time I watched this movie, I just thought, oh my gosh, that was so cute, la-da-da-da-da, I went on my way. But it's such a good representation.
This movie came out 9 years ago, 2016.
Sounds about right.
2013.
Was it 2013? Mm-hmm. So this movie is kind of cutting edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in 2013, Facebook came out with all these algorithms that literally, like, sucked us into this vicious cycle of addiction.
I feel like I'm becoming a Facebook zombie.
Well, I mean, it's something that, like, I think society needs to be aware of the impact that social media has, the endless scrolling and the way that it impacts our neurological system is dangerous.
It's so dangerous.
But it's also feeding us, like, the same information over and over again to the point that we can't see anything else but that. And now we're disconnecting from somebody that doesn't have that viewpoint.
Because
they've been fed something else.
Yes, and we're so used to just only hearing our own opinion and what the algorithms think we want to hear. And so because it's
that's what it's
the
doing.
Most rewarding thing is to hear someone tell you you're right.
Yeah.
And do it in an entertaining way and then tell you that other people are wrong and you don't get connection that way.
Yeah. So I felt like it was one of those things where humanity is saved because of connection.
Exactly.
The zombies start feeling connection, and that is the cure to...
Well, that is exactly what the quote was. My favorite line was, love and acceptance is the key to the cure.
It's true. And we don't know if it actually works. We're not going to say whether or not it actually works in this
story.
But
that's what they discover.
Yeah, that if they can love and connect more, then they can cure and overcome this disconnect that makes us all feel like zombies and alone.
Yes. Yeah. So this, 2013.
You know, they really should study this in school.
Well, you know what, though? I will say that this generation that we weren't a part of that. We weren't raised.
No, our kids.
But our children were. Like, they were raised with phones in front of them. And they were the guinea pigs to the social media experiment. You know what I mean? And so I think they're starting to realize, like, this isn't healthy. Like, I know my kids are kind of starting to turn away from it.
I saw, we may have talked about this at one other point, but I saw a little clip on a professor who teaches English, and his children were maybe the age of giving them phones. Mm-hmm. And he kind of wanted to see what his students thought. I think they were like in their 20s.
Oh, I think I saw this.
Okay. Yeah, it was really interesting. Yeah.
And this was just recent?
Yeah, so he interviewed his students and asked them, when are you going to give your children phones? Okay. And they all pretty much said, like, later teens.
Yeah,
like 16 or more.
Like, we might give them a very basic phone at 13 or 14, but we're not going to give them a phone that accesses the web and that they can just disappear on until they're older.
So that's So I will say I have a little bit of a bias because I've read Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt.
Yeah.
And he goes into a lot of the neuroscience behind this and the impact.
Absolutely.
I think it's very...
Do you know,
there's hope if these young young people in their 20s are saying mm-hmm. they see it yes. and they don't want that for their children. So yes. I feel like there is hope if that's happening.
That's really awesome.
And when the people who created this won't let their own children use it, that's pretty fortuitous.
Yeah. You guys, it's so sad. My little stepson, like he, when he's not with us, he is on the tablet all the time. Like, and even in school, their schools were just handing him tablets.
I don't think that's abnormal.
And then when he gets home and stuff, and that's it. It's like all, and it's insane. But then this summer he came up and he was with us, and we were just like, I'm sorry, you know, we don't have access to the passwords on your tablet, so we can't monitor what you're watching on YouTube. And if we can't monitor what you're watching, you can't use that device. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, you know, so we got an Xbox and got, you know, Minecraft and some games, and a couple times a week we would play as a family together. Mm. So it's like, it's not like we were being a freaker.
I mean,
about
I remember
it.
When I was like, oh, video games, that's just, you know, so disconnecting. Like you need to go outside and play in the dirt with sticks.
But he spent his entire summer outside. But he spent most of his summer outside, and he made friends with all the neighborhood kids. And, you know, we just did us and did bike rides. And, you know, at first he was a little bit like, oh, I want my iPad.
Well, there's some withdrawals they're going to go
but
through.
Within 4 or 5 days, and with him meeting the neighborhood kids and just engaging in all the stuff we were doing, because we were doing so much, he didn't miss it. Like,
so social media withdrawals about 5 days versus like some drugs is, you know, upwards
of
30.
I think that you have to have
on the drug.
I think you have to have the social calendar full in order to overcome the social media step, because you have to have, if we didn't
That's
have the
true
neighborhood
with
kids,
anything, if you are addicted, you do need to find something to replace
that. You have to have a
schedule.
And
you do need to find connection with other people.
Yeah. And connection.
And humans.
Yeah.
Other people and humans.
Because like you can't connect with other zombies very easily. I hate to say it. The zombies,
is that the drug.
Exactly. And so, you know, it was kind of neat that these zombies were looking for the human moments to connect on. Mm-hmm. And so it's really hard. It's a lot harder for zombies to connect with each other because they got there. Yeah. And so.
And that's what makes us human.
That's what makes life worth living.
It
is connection.
Mm-hmm.
And to have connection, we have to learn to tolerate disagreements, and we have to learn to view but we just have to learn to view the differences in their opinions as positive things instead of viewing the differences in opinions as attacks against my dopamine hit.
I think it's just maybe even having compassion and love for all humans, even if you believe necessarily in a little something, a different religion than I do, or a different political party, I mean, you have your reasons for believing whatever you want to believe.
Yeah.
But are you a good human? Yes.
And you can be a good human with different opinions.
Yes. And that is what I'm choosing to love about you, is that you're a good human. And I see all these aspects about you that I like. Yeah, I mean, maybe we disagree on a few things, but ultimately,
Do you guys think that in the past little bit that there's been a retraining to where we have been kind of encouraged to look at people who think differently from us or who don't have our political views as the enemy or as bad?
Like, absolutely.
Instead of just as somebody who has a different opinion, and let's talk about the merits of our opinions.
Yeah.
I feel like we've turned every disagreement into if you support this, then did you know that 6 degrees of separation, you know, that person then supported blood diamonds. So you're a terrible person for that. And you're like, wait, stop. I obviously think blood diamonds are shitty too.
Well, if you really start talking to people, everyone wants the same thing.
I agree.
But they have different ideas of how to get there.
Yeah.
So if you,
because we all have different experiences in life, and those are valid.
So let's call and if it you, evil.
Yeah, if you just look at like, okay, we actually want the same thing, and I can respect that.
Yeah,
and like you for that. And we're on the same. We're on the same.
We have the same goal.
Yes.
And let's just call the assholes.
We're going to skin that cat, and there's 10 ways to do it.
Yeah. Although, when I did AMP, they did say, you know, there is only
the
one way
to
skin the cat.
Yeah. No.
Which there's not.
No, there's plenty of ways.
But I did love that this movie for bringing that to light.
You
know, what we all want is human connection and love and... you know, being with other humans is so important.
And to be seen and to
friends and lovers and yes.
So we can't really like, we do know that this is a romance.
Yeah.
So we do know that the love interests are going to end up together.
Yeah, but we don't know.
In what form, we're not going to tell you.
Exactly. Are they human? Are they zombie? Are they hybrids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, or how realistic is this movie?
I think, honestly.
Figuratively, I think it's very realistic.
It's about as realistic as it gets.
Yeah,
I think it was
just used a fun medium.
I almost feel like, figuratively, this movie was almost a prediction.
Yeah. Well,
you know, like this was almost foreshadowing our future.
Yeah. And I think that. You know, it is about two young people falling in love, which is
adorable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's like the badass, like amazing, beautiful woman. And he's like kind of this gawky,
music nerd.
Insecure guy.
He's a little goth and so hot.
Yeah.
Very
he catches
goth.
Himself staring at her all the time. He's like, oh gosh.
Sorry.
You know, Don't be weird. I think
Don't
you're staring.
Yeah, and she looks past the fact that he ate her boyfriend's brain.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
he did something terrible.
Yes.
Can we just be honest about that?
Yes.
It's a terrible thing to eat another person's brain.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's hard to justify that in any realm.
It really is. But
even in zombie world.
She understood why he did it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to forgive him.
Yeah.
And still love him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was sweet.
Yep.
So how beautiful is that?
And so how long will it last? I'm going to say 25 to life because, I mean, he is, like, they had to go through
You have to go through something that difficult together.
Absolutely.
And you grow from that, and you become better because of it.
Yes.
I think that that is the recipe for 25
mm-hmm.
to life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is this the first time the three of us have agreed?
I don't know.
We've done it before.
There's 25 to life.
Well, and at the end, I'm thinking, you know, R is never going to cheat on her. He is going to look at her as the most amazing human that he's ever known. I mean, forever.
And
he's always going to think of her that way.
Like, when we were interviewing Mike and Allison... Uh-huh. I think my favorite thing about them is how much they supported each other and they grew together. They both changed for the better over the course of their lifetime.
Yes.
Because they supported each other.
Oh, and they were excited for each other.
And they were excited for each other. And I feel like that's such a great recipe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like
they had that
same connection. So I'm totally on board with 25 to life.
Oh, good. I love
because,
it.
Because, man, they really do turn out pretty rad.
They do.
Yeah.
And it's a fun journey.
It is a fun journey.
And I will say the next step to my formula, my personal formula, if I want for why I select what I do, is that they had a relationship based on like friendship
yeah.
Absolutely.
And deep caring for one another.
honesty.
And I don't know, the most steam that it got was like they kissed
at the very, yeah, at the very end.
So it was a green pepper, and I'm like, well, they have those things established.
Yeah.
A deep care for each other's well-being, as he demonstrated.
Absolutely.
And friendship.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think chemistry definitely was going to be coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because so when he gets all cleaned up, she's like, oh, you're hot.
Pretty woman.
Right? Oh, yeah. So it was it was a green pepper, for sure. Like, I would have watched, would I have watched that with a, how young can you watch that?
I watched that with my kids when they were young.
Yeah, I probably did too. And they still remember it and they still loved it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think, like, around eight years of age, like, they can start imagining things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, scary movies can be a little bit much.
Yes.
At that age.
Avery still had a little bit of scariness from the zombies. Bones. And, yeah, the bones and the zombies and stuff. But it was Kyle's favorite movie, and he was a year older than him. And it was Kyle's favorite movie.
Oh, yeah, my kids loved it when they were pretty, we watched it when they were pretty young.
Yeah, you know, I don't think, I've never seen it, and I don't think the boys have seen it. I asked Owen today, he called me, which I love.
That is so cute. Hey, Mom.
He said he called just to check in, but he had an ulterior motive as well.
That's okay. I'll take it.
But he did talk to me for a long time. He asked me what I was doing, and I love to just tell him. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm working today, and then the ladies are coming over, and we're podcasting. We just watched a movie called Warm Bodies. Have you ever seen it? He's like, no, I haven't.
That's okay.
And I was like, you have to watch it. It's so good.
Oh.
I don't know if he will, but.
It's so cute. It's a cutie. Yes. Well,
but I don't.
With Halloween coming up, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting that we haven't seen it. Like, I didn't even know when we talked about it.
I own it on DVD.
Do you really?
Well, yes, because I love this show. Kyle loved it so much, I bought it for our family.
I mean, it's so funny.
It's so cute.
And I'm trying to think, like, is it really, really scary? I can see, like,
the bones
maybe
are scary.
10 and up is maybe where I would.
Yeah.
The bones are scary.
Yeah.
Those are scary.
Yeah, that could be scary for a kid. I remember they're like Slender Man.
Yeah.
I remember my kids were terrified of Slender Man. They're very Slender Man like.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would recommend it.
I would recommend it.
Me too.
Ten
to everyone. Except
maybe
for
10 and
10.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 and up.
I don't know. What is the movie association, whatever?
It probably said 12 and up, but this one seemed like it was.
Do you think it's probably PG-13?
I don't know if it's PG-13.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to
probably
know.
PG.
You know what's so funny, though? Like, you look back at the PG-13 movies of the 80s, and you're like, that would be, like, seriously rated R.
That would be so
in today's
R.
time.
Absolutely.
So maybe we should, like, rated according to the 80s, probably PG.
Oh, it was so PG.
Maybe even G.
Yeah. Maybe even G in the 80s. I mean, like, the movies that they called R's would be like, dang.
Yeah.
Skinamax. That's,
yes.
So my favorite
PG-13.
Line. My favorite line is, there are 1,000 kinds of life and death across the whole spectrum. Not to mention the metaphorical. Do you want to stay dead the rest of your life? Do you? I mean, I just liked it because it's like, do you want to live life as like dead and not feeling and just moving through life without anything? Or basically, do you want to live and fill life and be connected to people?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought that was kind of an interesting, I kind of like that because it sort of, it talks about what we also, what we're talking about, which is.
That was the point of the movie.
Yeah, connection.
It really was.
Hmm.
Mine was probably Bitches Man.
Bitches Man.
His, like, empathy response when she left him.
I think mine was in the dream. When her boyfriend was saying, oh, he can't feel that way because he's a zombie. He can't, you know, he can't do anything. He can't make choices. And then when she said, no, I think he can. He can choose whatever he wants to choose. He can still choose his life. It's not too late for him to choose his life. He can still choose what he wants. He can choose to dream about a future.
I thought that was sweet.
And that was my favorite part. It's just that whole concept of, you know what, no matter where you are right now, you can still choose a positive future for yourself. It might not be what you originally maybe like, you know, I'm not going to be an Olympic gymnast.
And depending on where you're at, if you have issues with addiction, you might have to have some help from someone else because you might not be able to choose that.
Exactly.
Yourself.
And even if you have, even if you have made bad choices in life, like eating people or, you know.
Yeah.
Or hurt people.
Or, you know, getting involved in drugs and the things that maybe you do when you're taking drugs.
Or going down you the still have rabbit a, hole of yeah, addiction.
You still have a choice every day of how you want to live your life. And you can change that.
You can.
Like you said, it's not easy.
But it does take a community though. You know, like it takes
it really takes
an understanding of I have this thing and do I want to change? Because I think that was one of the keys with the zombies is they had to decide if they wanted to change.
Yeah. And if so, you do need more than just yourself.
You do need more than yourself. You can't you know, and it's I think that we're kind of in America, it's a little bit hard just because our culture is so you should be ultra independent,
pick yourself up.
Exactly. And
mentality,
Well, there's, you know, and it's not easy. Like they have to practice, you know, there's the scene at the end where the guy's trying to play baseball and he keeps throwing the guy the ball and it's hitting him all over the body. Just can't quite catch it.
Did you notice how these Walden City people, they changed too? I mean, they were like, dude, I don't know if I have enough patience to sit there and if I'm going to go play ball with someone to throw a ball at them for for 60 minutes until finally they're like, oh, I got it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but I think that because their circumstances were so harsh that they were like, you know what? It's way better in life to spend 60 minutes throwing someone a ball until they can figure out how to catch it.
Yeah.
Than it is having to fight them forever because they lost connection completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't you feel that positive reinforcement is reinforcement itself? So,
yeah.
You know, if you're like, even if you go to the grocery store and, you know, your checkout person is nice to you and says nice things. I love it when people call me hon.
Yeah.
You have a good day, hon.
But now everyone wants to get so offended instead. That's, you know, now it's like I feel like we've been trained to be offended by that instead of just realize that's just someone being sweet and
Recognize the beauty in the world.
I just feel like mostly it makes you feel good. So when somebody does nice gestures and makes you feel happy, then you feel happy and they feel happy too. I make a client feel good,
it makes me feel good.
And then I end up being happy for the rest of the day. It's a two-way street.
Saying, like one of the nurses that I work with, she's like, kindness is the currency.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, whenever I'm like thinking that I want to be a little shithead, then I'm like, oh, wait, kindness is the currency. Why would I be a little shit right now? There's no point.
Yeah. You know, there was a study that said that connection has more impact on how long you live.
Oh, yeah.
Than like, even like, I think it was even something as important as how much you exercise.
Yeah, absolutely. People who live and age well, it's because they have social connections.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. So go out there, everyone.
Stay connected.
And love people.
Love people. And you know what? If you find yourself going down dark tunnels, you know.
Reach out and connect.
And take the opportunity to understand that part of connection is disagreeing.
I love you.
Compassion, love, kind of trying to understand where people are at, and loving people, loving, you know, humanity is so important.
And don't go wall yourself off in a city of people who think exactly like you do.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to be spending your entire life fighting everything else.
Be open, be curious.
Be loving.
I love
and
it.
And kindness is the currency.
I know. Thank you, Nurse Katie. Oh, I love it. All right.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening. If you guys want to chime in about which Austen, Jane Austen, we need to go over, please do at myperfectromance.com. You can connect with us that way.
Yes,
yes.
Send us your love letters. Send us your what would you do's. We love it all.
Tell us you want us to interview you.
Yes.
Because I absolutely love doing that.
Oh my gosh, you've had so many awesome
ones. We have.
It's been fun.
It's been great. Mm-hmm.
So thanks, you guys.
All right. XOXO. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.